are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again with you on this Friday edition. How the heck is it Friday already? Championship week, 49ers Packers in just a couple of days for the NFC for the right to play in Super Bowl 54. Today's program, I've got some of the best audio throughout the week from Kyle Shanahan, from Robert Saleh, from George Kittle, from Richard Sherman about a number of different subjects, how they're feeling in George Kittle's case. Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan talking about scheme, talking about the players on their team, talking about the Green Bay Packers and a job that Robert Saleh did not get. And Richard Sherman gets a little bit heated, probably my favorite clip of the day where it feels like he's ready to play some football and is tired of answering questions. And of course, the keys to victory for the 49ers to beat the Packers Sunday in the NFC Championship game. You can find this podcast on all of your favorite podcast apps at LockedOn49ers.com. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. One of the key messages this week from Kyle Shanahan was that the Packers are good and that the November game means nothing in relation to the January game.
We know it'll be different. I mean, we know everyone that game got away from them early, and that's definitely not the team we're going to see this week. I mean, everyone knows how good Green Bay is, how good their coaching staff is, how good their players are, how good their quarterback is. I don't think they've lost a game since then. I think that game really holds zero relevance in what's going to happen this Sunday.
Shanahan's message is simple, can be summed up in four words when it comes to his players taking the Green Bay Packers too lightly.
Don't be that stupid. That's not real. This is about Sunday's game. I mean, I can give a thousand stories of things like that. Plenty of games from my history that I've been a part of. I remember losing to Carolina 37-0 when they were 13-0, and we had to play them 2 weeks later, and then we beat them at Atlanta, and they ended up being 15-1 that year. But I mean, there's so many stories like that, and this is the NFL, so no team. The game before never matters like that. There's four teams left, and there's four very, very good teams, and it's going to be a hard game for all of us. So, and also our players, type of guys they are, the way they've been all year, I'm not concerned about that. They'll have to answer that question, I'm sure, a lot, but I don't think that'll be a worry for our players, which means it won't be for me.
Yeah, I really think the 49ers are built right to avoid that sort of a mindset. These are self-starters. These guys are pros. These guys are physical. They are wired correctly, and I agree with Shanahan. The 49ers don't seem like a team that are going to look past another team, and they're going to come, and they're going to show up, and they're going to play their rear ends off. And Kyle Shanahan seems like the kind of coach that would not allow that to happen. Even though he's a younger coach, there's an edge to Shanahan, and there is a little bit of an old school vibe in some of the ways he coaches, some of the ways he tries to get the most out of his players. And when it comes to those Green Bay Packers, Shanahan was asked what he's seen on film and how the January version might differ from the team they blew out in week 12.
I mean, I thought they were good before we played them. I thought they were good when we played them, and they've been even better since. You know, I just think not a lot's changed on tape. I just think not many teams have done much on them. They've been holding people to a small amount of yards and a few points.
The final clip from the head coach here, this is from earlier in the week when he was talking about defensive coordinator Robert Saleh not getting the Cleveland Browns head coaching gig. And a pretty honest answer from Kyle Shanahan. He wants to keep his good coaches with him in-house.
I mean, I'm definitely excited he didn't get it. And that's not just for selfish reasons. It's because I care a lot about this organization, too. And so it definitely helps me, but it helps this whole organization. And I think it'll help Saul in the long run. I mean, like I said, he's going to be a head coach. Just needs the right opportunity. And he's going to keep getting better and better, too.
What a dick. Didn't even want Robert Saleh to get a head coaching job. No, I love that answer. And Saleh was pretty cool about himself not getting the Cleveland Browns job too. And who knows, maybe, I mean, the Browns isn't the greatest job in the world. Maybe it's a blessing for Robert Saleh to have an opportunity to coach a different team next year. But as Kyle Shanahan has said, he expects Robert Saleh to get a head coaching job. And I think if the 49ers defense continues on the trajectory it's on right now, it's a given he's going to interview again next year and potentially land that job. And so then it comes down to the 49ers and who they will promote within, which I would expect them to do most likely to the head coaching job. And I think Joe Woods is the guy that you would think would get that job, and he might get the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator job. He's among the candidates there, according to reports. He's down to Steve Wilks or Joe Woods for the defensive coordinator job for Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns. So then when you're looking within, you've got Chris Kucerik still on the staff. The defensive line coach could be in line for a promotion next year, or the dark horse here and maybe a fast riser among the defensive coaches on the 49ers is linebackers coach D'Amico Ryans. I could definitely see him leapfrog everybody and end up being the 49ers defensive coordinator, but there will most likely be some candidates from the outside as well if the Niners do end up needing a new DC next year and Saleh gets a gig that I think is definitely on the horizon for him. Well, this is a great time to go to the defensive coordinator. Here's Robert Saleh talking about the gig he did not get in Cleveland.
No, there's no disappointment. I'm very grateful for the Browns and having me be a part of it. But really big fan of Jimmy Haslam and what he did and what they're going to go through. I think they've got something going. I think they hired the right guy, and they've got a chance to do something special. So I'm excited to see him progress.
See, that right there is how you know Robert Saleh is going to be a good head coach, with the coach speak answer on not getting hired, talking about how they hired the right guy. You know, deep down, he's like, how could you hire this joker that I just dominated Saturday over me for this head coaching job? And this one speaks to the relationship in-house between Robert Saleh and his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, in response to Shanahan's answer when Kyle said he was glad that Saleh didn't get that head coaching job.
It's like a backhanded compliment, right? No, he's... Kyle's always been a big supporter. I mean, he supports his staff. He really supports everybody. He is not one to look at a coach and say, I got to get rid of this dude. His first instinct is to try to make you better and help you get better. And so you've to understand Kyle and to work with Kyle is really a gift that I think a lot of people should have once in their life, because of the fact that he's always striving to help you get better. And that's what I think makes this organization tick, is that everybody in this organization is always trying to help each other get better. And because of it, you know, Kyle feels invested in all his coaches. And I do believe him when he says that he's happy, because he feels like he's invested in me, which he has. And because of it, I take it as a compliment.
You know, we're starting to hear more and more about Kyle Shanahan and the style of coach he is, and might be a secret hard ass behind the scenes a little bit, but respectful. Not the guy who, you know, you see, like, my least favorite coach in the league is Greg Williams. I've not been shy about it, and his stupid visor with the frosted tips sticking out of the top and the Bounty Gate stuff, trying to talk about killing Frank Gore's head. You kill the head, the body dies, and the dudes all talk, and it's F-bomb after F-bomb, and he tries to, you know, strangle good defense out of his players rather than nurture that talent and teach his players and get them good in that direction. And I love the style of this staff. I think both Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan are like that. They demand a lot from them, but it's a teaching environment more so than just a beat you down with negativity type of environment, and one of those coaches that just is, you know, has all the cuss words down, but you can tell it's almost a lack of confidence in themselves that they're overcompensating for something. And there's none of that going on in the 49ers organization. So it's a top down environment right now in San Francisco that is, I think, really important to the sauce that got this team to 13-3, that got them to the NFC Championship game. And I also think that Kyle Shanahan's right, and you kind of heard it from Robert Saleh there. Saleh's going to be a better coach this time next year than he is right now, which will help him in his next job. We will check in on George Kittle and that ankle that kept him out of practice earlier this week, and Richard Sherman has something to say about how the 49ers will and should cover the Green Bay Packers. One more from defensive coordinator Robert Saleh before we check in with the players and get to the keys to victory Sunday. Robert Saleh talks a little bit about Dee Ford, what he opens up, Nick Bosa too, how those guys open things up for the rest of the 49ers defense and why it's so important to have Ford back in the lineup.
But when you got a speed guy like Dee Ford, it's very hard for that left tackle or right tackle, whichever one, whoever he's lining up on, to be able to hang in there and not honor that speed off the edge. Because if you hesitate for a second with Dee Ford, he's gone off the edge and it's over. So it just puts those tackles in a little bit more, gives them a little bit more sense of an urgency to get back in their protection. When that happens, it opens up that B gap. And so when there's space created for that offensive line, now you're getting those guys on islands, and it just creates a lot of one-on-ones for those guys. And so when you're looking at Buck and Armstead, who are just massive human beings who are more power rushers, the more space, the better. And so with Bosa and Ford, when they can create all that space for those guys, it just makes those guys even better on the inside.
Let's hear from a couple of players really quick before we get to those keys to victory and an important one, maybe the MVP for the 49ers in 2019, tight end George Kittle, missed practice Wednesday, tweaked his ankle against the Vikings Saturday, but was back on the practice field Thursday. The 49ers faithful can take a collective, massive sigh, and Kittle was asked how he's feeling.
I feel fabulous. Thanks for asking.
And when George Kittle is feeling fabulous, that means trouble for your defense and the players that he locks into and drives directly into the turf or completely off of the field in the run game. George was asked about that run game that went straight through the heart of the Minnesota Vikings, rushing the ball 47 times last week.
Coach Shane did such a great job. I mean, every pass play we have gets set up by our run game. And so, you know, luckily this past week we didn't have to set up the pass game at all because our run game was so efficient. But we definitely had plays out there that we just didn't call because we didn't need to call them. You know, when you're running for 4 yards a carry and you rush it 47 times, you don't really need to throw the ball. So, I mean, what Coach Shanahan does, I mean, the balance is always there. And but he's never afraid to run power on back-to-back plays to score a touchdown. I mean, we ran on 3rd and 2 for a 10-yard gain, and we scored on the exact same play, just flipped it the next play. So, I mean, it's just fun to be a part of an offense like that where, yeah, we have all the, you know, the fun stuff like we did versus the Saints, the passes, you know, Emmanuel's pass to, you know, Raheem, but we'll run power down your throat if we want to.
I love that Kyle Shanahan's offense is just like how I play Madden. When one play is really working, you just hit the trigger and flip it the other way and keep it rolling. But, I mean, that's great news for the 49ers to get George Kittle back on the field. And he's impactful every game, even if he's not filling up the stat sheet in the passing game like last week. But I have a feeling against the Packers, he's going to get things going a little bit more as a receiver as he did in November in Week 12 when the 49ers beat the Packers 37-8. And there's going to be some plays dialed up for number 85, and great news that he will be on the field Sunday. And even though it was expected George Kittle would be out there, it's still just nice to see that he's on the field and that he is feeling, in fact, fabulous right now. I touched a little bit earlier on the idea of the family atmosphere, the high-character players that have been brought in by John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan into the organization. The reason you don't have to worry about the 49ers coming into Sunday's NFC Championship game with the wrong mindset. And Richard Sherman talked about that mindset and that it's not something that's new in 2019.
Well, we had it before we were winning. So I guess you'd have to talk to Kyle and John about that, you know, getting the right guys. That's a big part of it. Guys who care about football, guys who want to do everything they can to win, guys that are selfless, guys that are compassionate, guys that show humility to one another. You know, it's a lot of factors that I'm sure individual that they study on an individual level that make for a great team.
And moving on to the Green Bay Packers specifically, how that matchup might look for someone like Richard Sherman and facing Packers target hog of a wide receiver, Devontae Adams.
I don't care either way. I'm trying to win the football game. I'm not trying to win the individual matchup. Individual matchups don't really, I don't really care about them. At the end of the day, it's about winning football games. So he's a great player. He's a great somebody that we obviously got to be, account where he is on the field at all times. But in terms of individual matchups, it means nothing to me.
I don't know if it was some questions that were posed to Richard Sherman a little bit earlier in the press conference, or this is just where he's at toward the end of the week and getting his mindset ready and that competitive nature, but he started to get a little bit more competitive with his answers and a little bit more serious with his answers toward the end of this press conference. And his thoughts on the defense are more about handling business and less about who are you covering? Who are you covering? What does this matchup look like? What should I be doing? And he covers that and gets even a little bit more intense about it, gets going a little bit on the topic of mirroring wide receivers, being asked to travel around and man up all game long against another team's number one.
I've mirrored A.J. Green, Julio a few times. Like I said, we don't draw up the defense. So I don't call the defense. The coach tells me what to do. I do it. For me to say, oh, man, I want this guy. I want this guy. I don't really care. Does it help us win the game? Is it going to help the defense? Is it going to help us limit their explosive? Then I'll do it. If it's not, if it doesn't make a difference, if it's better for me to be on the side, then that's what I'm going to do. I love it how people are like, oh, my God, these guys need to do this. Well, I'm going to let you know something. You go to your job and tell your boss what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and see how long you last. At the end of the day, Salah and Kyle, Salah calls the defense. If Salah comes up to me and says, hey, you follow this guy everywhere he goes, then that's what I'm going to do. If he doesn't, then guess what? I'm going to do what he's told me to do. That's how coaching and player relationships work, And it just so happens we have the number one pass defense in the league. Whoa, oh, my God, it's crazy. It's crazy that you're not following anybody, but somehow you have the number one pass defense in the league. Almost like our strategy works. It's almost like you're an idiot for doing it any other way. It's almost like you're dumb if you do it another way. It's almost like people have been saying, oh, do it this way for so long, but they don't have a number one defense. But whatever, I'm crazy.
You got to love Richard Sherman, man. The competitive fire comes out in him, and he is, I think he's just ready to go, first of all. But he's got a point. Don't try to tell the number one pass defense in the NFL how they should be trying to do things differently. And who knows, maybe there will be a certain time when they think, you know what, Devontae Adams is killing us. Let's put Richard over there in these situations, or let's just have him man up on him the rest of the game because we need to fix something that's going on right now. Who knows? Maybe they will need to make that adjustment. But from what we've seen from the 49ers all year, from what we saw against them, against some really good receivers in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, they don't need to do that. They need to play their brand of defense. They need to play sound, and everything's going to be okay for that 49ers defense. And they don't even have to cover that long when they've got those guys up front that we heard Robert Saleh talking about earlier in D. Ford and Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. This team works really well together on defense. They're flying around to the second level with Fred Warner and Quan Alexander and Dre Greenlaw stepping up as a rookie. So I think they're going to be just fine on the defensive side of the ball if they continue to do what they've been doing. But it sounds like Richard Sherman's pretty ready to go for Sunday. And it's funny, the way Richard Sherman operates too is it that he's too smart, that he needs to psych himself out a little bit when it comes to playing football because he knows what it takes physically and mentally to play at a high level, and I think he needs to amp himself up a little bit, because I bet if you went on the field, like if Aaron Rodgers pregame and Richard Sherman meet up on the field and they shake hands, and Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, hey, Richard, I really admire you. I think you're an extremely talented person and very handsome. By the time kickoff happens, that conversation would have turned into some sort of disrespect to Richard Sherman, and he would try to use that as fuel during the game. And I don't know what it is about Sherman that it flips in him. And I think it's just, it's just pure competitive nature. He will find disrespect if he needs to. He will find some fuel for his fire. And you know he's going to be going out there and he was going to be burning up all of that fuel every single Sunday. And that's why he's been so good. It's why he's been so good for so long. He plays smart. He plays physical. And he plays confident. And that's not really a heck of a lot different from the rest of the 49ers defense this year. It's amazing to see a team play at the same time so fast and so physical, and that's what the Niners are doing right now on both sides of the ball. which brings us to the keys to victory next. Can you believe it's conference championship week? It's a really good one in the AFC too, with the Titans at Chiefs. Time's up for two of these teams playing this weekend, but you still have time to feed your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game quite like having a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with throughout the playoffs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, for a limited time. Both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500 on your next deposit. New users, be sure to enter code LOCKEDON during signup, and you'll also get a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. That's code LOCKEDON, and you can get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. And I can attest to it, going to spring training is awesome for any baseball fan. It's just a fun vacation, fun place to get away, great food. You'll rub elbows with baseball people and broadcasters, and it's just a really cool time. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75-degree temperatures, all 10 stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles. Meet the players, get autographs before games, check out the upcoming prospects. One of my favorite things to do, go prospecting, find out who the next Major League stars are going to be. Amazing restaurants, tons of bars, craft breweries, of course, tons of outdoor adventures and hiking, biking. And you can even check off some must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages. Horseback rides to games, activities, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. And now your keys to victory for the 49ers to beat the Green Bay Packers Sunday in the NFC Championship game. Key to victory, number 5, win round 1. And there's numerous things encompassed in this. And one is the don't be overconfident factor. Don't be that stupid, as Kyle Shanahan would put it. I don't think the team is built in a way that they would be that stupid. Despite a 37-8 blowout over the Packers in November, I mean, they weren't overconfident last week. They handled their business, dominated wire to wire. But was that win so convincing that the 49ers might be feeling themselves a little bit? I don't think that's going to be the case. This team is just built the right way, upstairs from the neck up. But you can't come out sloppy. You've got to win round 1. You don't want to have to dig yourself out of a hole, as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers know all too well. An early turnover could kill you. We saw it in the AFC playoffs. The Tennessee Titans, the 6th seed, knocked off the 1 seed in the Baltimore Ravens. They got up 2 scores early, and the Ravens were forced to play one-handed. And when you know what's coming from the other team, it makes things so much easier for you, and we have a good defense on top of it, as the Packers do with a good pass rush. You become one-dimensional on offense, and they've got a good pass rush that can come after your quarterback. That's a recipe for disaster. So the 49ers absolutely need to win round 1, come out strong as they did against the Minnesota Vikings, and not be forced to play from behind early. Key to victory number 4, Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. The Packers lack playmakers outside of Adams and Jones on offense. They have some other pieces, but those guys are the ones that could break a game open. They're the ones that get force-fed the football. 34 plays last Sunday versus Seattle went to Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones. Adams, 11 targets. He caught 8 passes for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. You can't let that happen if you're the 49ers. And you can, I mean, Adams is going to get his. He's going to be heavily targeted. He was targeted just as many times when the 49ers played the Packers last time. Adams caught 7 passes, but it was for 43 yards and 1 touchdown instead of 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. The 49ers are much better in coverage than the Seattle Seahawks, have a better pass rush too. So that doesn't bode well for Rodgers and Devontae Adams, but you can't let him go off for 8 and 160 and a pair of scores like he did last week. That would just be... And Aaron Jones, he's a dynamic runner. And they're going to try probably what Minnesota tried, and the 49ers have to counter that like they did against Dalvin Cook last week. Jones was 21 carries. He only had 62. He only averaged 3 yards per carry, but they still pounded it with him 21 times. Part of that was because they had a lead, and he scored 2 touchdowns, and they just kept handing him the football. And again, Green Bay got a lead, got a win. The 49ers last week, you get an early lead, you get a win. It makes things that much easier, and you can run the ball, and you can pound it. The Packers gained 3 yards per carry. They still were able to pound it. The 49ers were gaining 5-6 yards per carry, and they did nothing else because they didn't have to. And you can do that if you have a lead. And how do the Packers get a lead? It would probably be handing the ball off, screen passes to Aaron Jones, and he gets loose, or hitting Devontae Adams on big plays and scoring touchdowns that way. So limit that, and you've got a really good chance of beating the Green Bay Packers. Key to victory number 3, keep the pressure on Aaron Rodgers. The 49ers sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times in week 12. Rodgers didn't throw any interceptions, but he had a costly fumble early. Gave the ball to the 49ers inside the 5-yard line. They ran one play, boom, touchdown. Now you're in a hole if you're Green Bay. It doesn't even have to be to that extent. You don't have to jump out to a 10-0 lead early. You don't need a fumble that gives you the football inside the 5-yard line of your opponent. You just got to keep pressure on Aaron Rodgers. The 49ers secondary is pretty good, but you can't cover Devontae Adams for 5 seconds. Eventually, he's going to get loose, and he's going to uncover from that man coverage or zone coverage, whatever coverage you're throwing at Devontae Adams, and then Rodgers can make a big throw. Rodgers has a tendency to hold the ball a little bit. He wants to look down the field. He wants to make that big throw. And if the coverage is good on the back end, that extra second will kill him. He doesn't want to throw interceptions, so he's not just going to chuck the ball up for grabs. Dee Ford and Quan Alexander both playing against the Packers for the first time this season. Ford being the big one, the big addition in this game that the Niners didn't have last time and were still able to get to Aaron Rodgers 5 times. You got to believe that Matt LaFleur is going to go to the rollout game heavily with Aaron Rodgers, like his buddy Sean McVay did against the 49ers. If you can do number 4, limit Devontae Adams, that probably means you're going to be able to do number 3 too and get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. And if the 49ers are able to get that lead, that makes that a little bit easier, knowing that they're going to have to pass and make life difficult. And dude, Aaron Rodgers hated life the last time he played the 49ers, 108 yards, just one of the worst games I've ever seen from Aaron Rodgers. And he was dumbfounded. They had nothing. They had no answers. They had nothing to do. The 49ers actually have more bullets to go after Aaron Rodgers in this game. The Packers are going to attack the defense differently. Are the 49ers up to the challenge? I think they are, but getting to Aaron Rodgers is a key. Getting to any quarterback is a key in any game, which brings me to key to victory number 2 for the 49ers, and that is get Za'Darius Smith blocked. The Packers have a pretty good pass rush in their own right. Joe Staley is back in this game, and he wasn't playing last time. It was actually Justin Skule early, and he got beat early. They made the switch in that game to Daniel Brunskill at left tackle, and things turned out a little bit better from then on. But now you've got Joe Staley back playing left tackle in this game. So what do the Packers do? Well, they're probably going to move Za'Darius Smith around. So rather than put him up against your best pass blocker, he might move over to the left side of the Packers defense and go up against Mike McGlinchey a little bit. He might go inside and rush from the interior to try to get after Jimmy Garoppolo. So you got to get Za'Darius Smith blocked. They've got some other really good players too, but Za'Darius Smith by far their best pass rusher. And to me, he's by far the one player on that Packers defense that could really cause problems for the 49ers. And key to victory number one for the 49ers against the Green Bay Packers Sunday, it's Jimmy G. And Jimmy Garoppolo does not have to be perfect. But I have a feeling the 49ers are going to need him to make some plays against the Packers that he didn't need to make against Minnesota. I believe Packers defensive coordinator Mike Pettine will stack the box. And they do not want to allow the 49ers to run all over them like they did against the Vikings. And they want the 49ers to have to make some difficult third down plays. Challenge Jimmy G to beat them on third downs. You see some zone blitzes coming after Jimmy Garoppolo in those situations. Try to get that key interception. At minimum, Jimmy Garoppolo needs to avoid the costly mistakes, the big interceptions, the turnovers. And at maximum, Jimmy Garoppolo might need to do a lot more. And if this is a one-score game, like I believe it will be, Jimmy G might have to make that game-winning drive versus Green Bay on Sunday. Is this going to be one of those all-timers? Maybe some amazing Jimmy Garoppolo drive, and we hear the call played over and over again throughout the years as the 49ers move on to the Super Bowl. They might need that moment. I don't know. A one-score game, the NFC Championship game. Who knows what's going to happen? But Jimmy Garoppolo having a good game and potentially being forced to be the guy who wins it for the 49ers offense is key to victory number one. All right, that's going to do it. Be back Monday, breaking it all down. Can't wait. NFC Championship game. It's been a long time coming for you 49ers fans out there. So go enjoy it. Talk to you Monday right here, Locked On 49ers.